All right, we're back. Steve Elzinga here. We're in a class on enterprise, and we've looked at things that relate to your personal finances, how to save money in your personal finances, how to do better in the present job that you may have, and how you might get a raise or how you might get more time. All of it designed to give you an opportunity to do more ministry. That's what you want. You want to do ministry. You want to make a difference in your work as well. Well, finally, we're going to get more into creating enterprise. And so in the next three sessions, we're going to look at how you might develop a ministry job. And then eventually we're going to look at how you might develop an enterprise thing in your own life. So I want to look at five different options. There's probably more, but these are sort of the general options in terms of ministry jobs that are out there. Number one, first of all members are ministers. There's a doctrine in the Reformation that was called the priesthood of all believers, regardless of pay. In other words, we are all ministers. Every one of us is called by God to a ministry. We're all called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the gifts that we have, with our abilities, with our opportunities, the people that we meet. So in some ways, we all already have a ministry job. It's just that most of us do not get paid for our ministry job. So the next four are ministry jobs really that sort of perhaps involve a little bit of pay. The second is tent making. Now, you are getting paid to do ministry, but you're the one that's doing the paying. So you pay yourself to do the ministry. So it's sort of like getting paid, but sort of not. So we'll look at tent making. The third option in terms of pay in the ministry is a love gift. Maybe you've heard of that in your church, maybe you haven't. A love gift is where we give a certain amount of money to someone who has done some work for the church or the ministry organization, and we just give them a specific amount. It's not related to the hours that they put in. We're not paying somebody so many dollars per hour. We're giving them a token of appreciation. So it's some money, sometimes it can be considerable money, but it's not tied exactly to the ministry time or what was done. So it's generally a lot less than what you might have been paid if you were hired. So a love gift. Number four, part-time ministry. Probably most Christian workers around the world are part-time. In other words, they have a regular job, and then they do their ministry, and the ministry pays them so much per hour. Maybe they work 10 hours or 5 hours. We have a secretary that works 10 hours a week at our church. We have a janitor that works 8 hours a week. We've got several kids that mow the lawn, and they get hired for, you know, 2 or 3 hours. Most of the staff that we have at church are part-time. They are hired for specific things, or they are hired for a specific number of hours. And finally, number five, we'll look at full-time ministry. Maybe that's what you're interested in, ultimately, in full-time ministry. So we'll look at all these different options and how you might go about trying to find them. I know that many of you at CLI, you've taken these classes. God, for whatever reason, touched your heart in terms of you learning more about God and learning more about doctrine and church history and all these things, and you've enjoyed it. But you ultimately wonder, well, what am I going to do with all this? What is God preparing me for? And as you get into it, maybe you become more and more disillusioned with the work that you do and how much time that you have to put in to supply the money for your family and so on. And you'd love to do more and more ministry, but you don't have enough time or money to do it. So this is finally the session where you might learn something about how you might do that. All right. I want to talk briefly about the disadvantages to compensation. It sounds like a good thing when you're not getting paid, and then you know you hear that this talk is about getting paid. It's like, yeah, that's what I want. But there are certain disadvantages to getting paid. Number one, low wages. I mean, in general, people getting paid in the church or a ministry make far less than people doing the same job in some secular business organization. And you sort of get stuck in that. I mean, even CEOs and nonprofits generally get paid a lot less than they would otherwise. Number two, you cater to the hands that feed you. The disadvantage to being in a nonprofit is that there are people that have to supply the money. And the tendency then in the nonprofit is to cater to whoever supplies the money. I've seen this all over the world. A person who loves God is called to be the pastor. He gets paid very little. And there's a few people in the church that have a lot of money that actually pay most of it. And they are the ones in charge. You can't afford to go against them and do what you think God is calling you, or you will be out of a job. So the tendency in a nonprofit is to cater to whoever pays the bills. Number three, you get caught in the struggle between God and money. It's because you're sort of mixing the two. You have the money thing, you have the ministry thing, and they're side by side. I think this is one of the issues for Judas. I mean, we don't have all the details of why Judas did what he did, but he was the treasurer of Jesus' little band of disciples. And it's interesting that he is the one that betrays Jesus, and in fact, he gets compensated to do this betraying. And we don't know what all of his motivations were, but it's just very, very, very difficult. My brother worked at a nonprofit in Kentucky for many years. He was working with a young man that truly loved God, wanted to be used by God, and my brother was mentoring him and training him. But in the end, he stole from the little nonprofit store that they had. And I remember my brother being disillusioned with the whole thing. Here, I've been working with this guy for 6 months, and then he steals from the very people that are trying to help him. And I tried to explain to him. I said, well, my guess is his heart was good and he really truly wanted to serve God. But every time he met with you for Bible study, you know, you're talking about the Bible and God, and you had this big bag of gold sitting right next to you. Because my brother was in charge of the organization. He was connected to all the money up north that flowed to this ministry. And my brother, you know, has a nice car and all these things. And so every time they talked, he wanted to listen about God, but he was blinded by the bag of gold that my brother was sitting next to. And so eventually, he just took some of it. Well, you might do the same thing. So the temptation, the problem of the money and the nonprofit and all those things being sort of together gets confusing sometimes. Number four, the disadvantage to getting paid to do ministry is you get this hired hand mentality. The idea that the ministry now hires you, and we are paying you, and so you must do the work. And they're the ones in charge. When, as a minister, you're supposed to have God in charge, and you're following God, and you're mobilizing the people to do the ministry. But a lot of times, when compensation is involved, people have it the other way around. We're paying your salary. We are your boss. Okay, advantages. There are some advantages to compensation. One, you have more time for ministry. When you're volunteering and you're doing a little bit here, a little bit there, you don't have time, you can't do big things, you can't follow through. And a lot of times you can't do things that take years to build on. Number two, you are more focused on ministry. The other way, you're busy trying to make a living, and then with whatever spare time you have, you quick throw it onto ministry, but you don't really have time to focus on it. And number three, there's a more consistent leadership. I'm running a church, and they can count on me. They know that I'm going to be there. They know that if things come up, I'm going to do it because this is my living. This is what I do. All right. Back to this business of being hired. Reason for a church to hire. This is very important. The church needs leaders, not doers. Doesn't mean the church is always aware of this, but ultimately what a church needs in terms of ministry and paying for ministry is leaders, not doers. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. So these are all the leaders. What is their purpose? To equip his people for works of service. To equip the people for works of service. Who's doing the works of service? It's the people. The mistake in getting hired is to think that they are hiring you to do the ministry. Hiring you to do the visiting. Hiring you to do all the organization. Hiring you to take care of the finances. Hiring you to do the music. Hiring you to do all the stuff that goes on in a church. They're not hiring you to do all those things. They're hiring you to get other people doing those things. The people have to be doing these things. If they hire you to do all these things, they spend all this money to get one person doing something. What a church really needs is a leader who gets 10, 15, 20 people doing things. So your 40 hours becomes 400 hours. When I planted my church in Vancouver, I had a tough time trying to convince my startup team that I was called to get them to do stuff. They kept telling or bringing people and said, they'd find somebody that had all these needs, and then they'd come to me and say, here you go. Now you have to take care of them. And I came back at them and I gave them this phrase. It's a fishing phrase. You catch them, you clean them. In other words, we go fishing and we catch fish, and all of you church members go out and you catch all these fish, and then you bring them back to the church, and then you plop them down on my desk, and now I have to clean the fish that you caught? My job is to teach you how to fish and to get you motivated to fish. But when you catch a fish, you clean them. When you reach a person, you train them. You reach a person, you help them get closer to Christ or whatever their problem is. I will help you do that. But don't make me the one worker here in the church. All right, step one to compensation. So we're going to look at several steps on how you get to compensation. Step one to compensation is to volunteer. You don't get any compensation for this. Volunteer in the seven connection. So first of all, you have to have your own walk with God. We've gone over the seven connections many times, but you need a walk with God. If you don't have a walk with God, there's no point in trying to get a ministry job. Why should a church hire you if you don't even have your own walk with God? Then if you're married, a walk with God with your spouse. If you're not walking with God with your spouse, then don't try to get a ministry job. Connection three, walk with your family. You're going to have a daily time of praying and reading the Bible and singing together as a family if you expect to be hired to lead that in the church. Number four, connection four, start a small group. If you've never started a small group or led a small group, then why do you think you could be hired to help a church? You have to volunteer first for these jobs. Connection five, volunteer in the service. Like, volunteer to pray, volunteer to do the music, volunteer to do something in the service. Connection six, learn from other churches. Talk to other people. What's going on in other churches? Become aware of what's going on in society. Connection seven, share your walk with God with others. So the seven connections, if you're not doing these things, if you're not living the authentic Christian life in your personal life, your marriage, your family, small groups, the church, the kingdom, the world, then there's no point in trying to get anyone to hire you to do these things. Step two to compensation in ministry is get education. You have to know something. You have to learn something. The Apostle Paul, first trained as a Pharisee, he worked at this his whole life. And then God converted him, but God still used all the training that he had. Jesus grew up in a small, rural, little town, but every Jewish boy had to go to this synagogue. And by age 12, they had the first five books of the Bible memorized. You have to have some education if you hope to get hired. Christian Leaders Institute, that's what it's all about. To help average people, people that don't have enough money, people that don't have time, help them get an education. So if you want to get compensated for ministry, you have to have some education. You have to have taken enough classes. So if you're just starting, keep going, keep going. You need more education. Step three to compensation in ministry. Start volunteering. Yeah, but then you don't get paid. Yeah, that's right. But why should someone pay you to do what you have never done before? What experience do you have? It's that problem. People want you to have experience. You know, you go for a job and they say, well, we'd hire you, but you don't have experience. And then you say, well, how can I get experience? No one will hire me. Well, in the church, it's perfect because there's this thing called volunteering. You can't just volunteer at some company, but you can at church. So start by volunteering. Get some experience in the church. Number two, on-the-job training. Volunteer to lead a class. When I went to seminary back in the day, one of the first things I did is I volunteered to teach Sunday school for an entire year, third grade Sunday school. Never done it before. And then the next year I volunteered to teach the seventh grade catechism. Seventh graders are horrible. You have no idea whether you're doing anything. I remember the whole year thinking, I am not accomplishing anything. I don't think these kids are getting a thing. 5 years later, I did a chapel at the school that I once attended. And after the chapel, I was walking in the parking lot, and all these kids that I had taught in seventh grade came running out. And they thanked me and told me how great it was back in seventh grade. So you have no clue what you're doing sometimes or how God is using it. On the job training, number three, discover your gifts. How do you know you're good at anything? I mean, I was not a speaker. I grew up, I had a hard time reading. I was in the special class with the kids that didn't know how to read. In third grade, my teacher told my dad that, you know, teach your son a trade because he's never going to go on to any college or anything like that. I didn't do plays. I didn't like reading aloud. I mean, I was not a candidate for speaking or being a minister of any sort in the world. And then God, through some crazy thing when I was in grade 9, you know, I ended up in some speech contest because no one else would do it, and the teacher made me do it, and I didn't want to do it. And the night before, I decided I was going to make a total fool of myself. And so I decided to, you know, if I'm going to make a fool of myself, I might as well just go all out. So the next day, I went all out. Lost my place 3 times, but I spoke with passion, and I won. And all of a sudden, oh, maybe I can do these things. So you have no idea necessarily what you can do, but you don't know what your gifts are until you start trying them. You need an opportunity to go out and try things. Who knows what you can do or not do? First time you sing, it might not go that well. Doesn't mean you're not a singer. First time you speak, it might not go that well, but who knows? You have to try these things, and that's what the church is all about. The church has all these things that you can volunteer for, and the church is not, you know, always that discerning in terms of whether you're good at it or not. Oh, you volunteer? Okay, we'll take you. It's a beautiful place, and people are forgiving, and they're very encouraging. So try everything. Volunteer for everything. You don't know what your gifts are until you actually try it and find out. Discover your passion. Who knows what you like? It's hard to know. Do you like teaching? Who knows? Try it. Do you like preaching? Who knows? Try it. I preached long before I went to seminary. I gave it a shot. And you know, most of it was a disaster, but I told one good story. that was effective. And I thought, well, maybe I can do this. What is your passion? You don't know what your passion is until you get out there and do something. Number five, demonstrate your gifts and passion. So the church, again, gives you an opportunity to demonstrate what those things are. Number six, discover the possibilities of God at work in you. God has a plan for your life. Your problem is you don't know exactly what it is. Get out there and volunteer and find out. If you don't do that, why would anyone hire you? Step four, to compensation ministry. Try tent making. Tent making is what Paul did. He made tents that paid his eating and living expenses, then he did ministry. So in other words, you're not getting money from anybody. You're sort of doing it and then paying yourself. The difference between tent making and volunteering. Number one, non-staff versus staff. So when you're volunteer at a church, you're not staff. Okay, but when you're a tent maker, you're actually paying yourself and you can get hired as staff. You're actually a staff member, but you pay yourself rather than the church paying you. Number two, the difference between volunteering and tent making. Volunteering is temporary. You volunteer for this little thing or whatever it is. Tent making can be more permanent. This is now my job. I'm a staff person at this church or ministry. Number three, relationship to job. Okay, when you're a volunteer at church, it has no relationship to the job that you do to make money. But when you're tent making, it does. Because I'm making money here, and this money is the money that is sponsoring me at this church. So there's a closer connection. All right, well, how do you approach a tent-making ministry? That's what you want to do. You want a sort of a permanent staff position at a ministry or a church. But you're going to pay your own way. What do you need to do? Number one, find a job that pays well, that gives you flexible time, gives you free time. Because you want to get paid from whatever it is that you do, but you want to have time to be a staff person in this ministry. Number two, begin looking for existing ministry positions. Okay? Are there positions out there? Look in your own church. Maybe your church is already looking for somebody to do something, the youth or the education or the visiting or whatever it might be. It might be just the janitor. It might be cutting the lawn. It doesn't matter. Start. So start with your own church, then in churches within your own denomination. You know, you have a connection. If you're in a denomination, there's a connection between churches. Or in the neighboring churches. Get to know the church scene and what is out there right now. What is the need right now? Number three, prepare to apply for these positions. How do you do that? You pray. Is this what God wants me to do? Get your family supporting you. This is the number one problem, Henry and I, long ago, we were teaching church planters, and we had this big church planting thing. Church planters come from all over the country, and they're going to learn how to plant a church. And the first part that we taught is you have to have a marriage walk. And so we did this whole thing, and then the problem was the church planter went home. He was so excited about what he had learned, but his spouse hadn't heard a thing about it. And so it just didn't work. So after that, we had our church planting seminars and so on, but we made the spouses come. You have to come. Because husband and wife on the same spiritual page is absolutely essential. It's no good to have one who doesn't care and one who's in it. So you need the family support. Number three, you need the pastor's support. If you're going to try to tent make, if you're trying to get a staff position at a ministry or a church, you need the pastor's support. A lot of times pastors are kept at a distance. Sometimes pastors think you're competing or that you're unhappy with his job. You really need to be walking side by side with your pastor. Prepare to apply for these positions, finally, with a resume. You know, give something. This is who you are. This is what you can do. We'll talk about that in a minute. Number four, approach leadership of your church with your desire to do ministry without pay. Okay, you want a tent make, and this is your goal. All right, how to write a resume. Number one, your personal information, who you are, how old you are, those kinds of things, your skills, what are you good at? Your past work or ministry experience, what have you done? That's probably the most important. What things have you done? What have you accomplished that relate to ministry? Number four, your education. This is where it's important that you do, if you're doing CLI, you have all these certificates, degrees, things, you know, the path that you've taken, you list all those things down. You're most proud of accomplishment. What have you accomplished? You know, my wife and I went to the Philippines for a year, and we sponsored the first indigenous songbook that they'd ever done. It's now like in the 8th edition or something. That's something I put on my resume. We did this long ago. We were young. We tried it, and it's going still to this day. Number six, your vision for the job. Why do you want this? What do you see in this thing? People need to see what you really dream of and want. Okay, step five to compensation and ministry. So we looked at volunteering, tent making, but now we're going to look at something where you actually get some money for the ministry that you do. Work for a love gift. Remember, I explained what a love gift is. It's a church or a ministry just giving you a certain amount of money. It's not tied to hours. It's generally a lot less than what you're worth, but it's a start. Advantages to a love gift ministry. Number one, authentic witness to people inside and outside the church. People know you are not doing this ministry just to get money, because the money is way less than what you get paid otherwise. So people inside the church know that you, your heart is ministry. And the people on the outside of church, more importantly, they see that too. That you're giving a love gift, it's something that helps free up time so you can do ministry, but it's not what you're worth. You're sacrificing to do this ministry because you really want to do this ministry. That's a powerful witness. Number two, it gives you some independence. Because they're not really paying you what you're worth, they don't own you. It's not like you're their employee that they can just push around. Number three, less likely to burn out on both sides, ministry and business. A lot of times people go full-time into ministry and then they burn out in the ministry because every day is just the stuff and people and problems. And maybe God made us, you know, to do something with our hands too. But when you have, or if you're doing, you know, constantly doing, you know, trying to make a living with your work, and then you're trying to take your spare time and do ministry, it's like you have no time. But when there's a nice balance, you have some work, and you have a little bit of compensation from the ministry, and, you know, so your finances are taken care of, maybe it's a nice balanced approach. You can go in with enthusiasm with both. Number four, more likely to get hired. You're more likely to get hired if you go to a church and ask just for a love gift than if you ask for a part-time job where they have to pay you what you're worth. Churches are reluctant sometimes to add ministry. You know, they have a budget and we're behind already. How are we going to add this? But when you come and offer them, you give them an offer that they can't refuse. You get all this ministry for this little bunch. Sometimes it's hard for churches to resist. Number five, with the love gift, you might free up more time for ministry because you get something. Maybe you can, you know, work 10 hours less at your job. Now you're getting something, so maybe you can afford to do that, and now you can plow that into ministry. All right, well, how do you approach a ministry with the whole love gift idea? It's really the same as doing the tent making. Find a job that pays well. I mean, that's ideal. That gives you flexible time, gives you free time. Number two, begin looking for existing ministry positions in your own church, in the churches in your denomination or the neighboring churches. Prepare to apply for these positions. Pray again, family support, pastor support. Write out a resume. This is who you are. Number four, approach leadership with your desire to do a ministry for a love gift. So ultimately, you come to your own church and say, this is what my goal is. This is what I'd like to do. What do you think about that? Step six to compensation and ministry. So now we move to part-time. We started with volunteering, tent making, where you pay your own way, love gift, where you just get a specific amount, not tied to hours and so on. Step six is part-time. This is where you're going to get hired for a specific job or specific hours, and you're actually getting paid for what you do. Advantages to part-time ministry. It's an authentic witness to people inside and outside the church. Again, because you're willing to give of yourself, and it's not a full-time salary, it's part-time. People realize you have to make a living outside too, and you're giving up time for the church. There is some independence because your whole salary is not dependent on the church. Three, less likely to burn out both sides of ministry and business because you do, let's say you're half-time in business, half-time at church. It's like you have these two worlds, and the one is sort of a break from the other. You don't burn out from either one. Number four, you're more likely to get hired part-time than you are full-time. Again, churches can't, it's a hard leap to add a whole new ministry to a church. So it's like, getting into the water slowly. How to approach a part-time ministry? Well, find a job, first of all, that pays well. A regular job gives you flexible time, gives you free time. Again, it's the same as the others. Begin looking for an existing ministry position. Start with your church. Start with your denomination. Start with the local churches. Get to know them. Do they have part-time jobs already? Look for areas of need. Maybe you can help out. Number three, prepare to apply for these positions. Again, pray, family support, pastor support, write out your resume. And number four, approach leadership with your desire to do ministry for pay, though it be part-time. All right. Well, let's say you do all that. How do you negotiate a part-time salary? Number one, be indispensable. How can you be indispensable? You're indispensable when you first volunteer. That's why volunteering is so important. You volunteer at a church, church is not going to want to refuse you. You want to volunteer? They're going to let you volunteer. Now you go in and you volunteer and you become indispensable. Become something that church could not do without. And now you approach them and say, it'd be really cool if I could do this a little bit more, and I could if I could get a part-time wage. Because you volunteer, they already understand that you can do the job. And because you've done a good job, they need and perhaps even want you. Number two, offer more value than what you're asking for in compensation. You'd like to go in and say, this is what I'm worth, this is what I get paid in my other job, so this is what I should get paid here. But remember, churches need to warm up to this. It takes time. They don't have, it's not like somebody has the money. The money comes from everybody. And so, and generally, the money's already been accounted for. We didn't think about this. This is your idea. And so people have to ease into this whole thing. So start sort of on the low side of things. Number three, get support for this possibility ahead of time. Before you even ask, start with your idea, talking to key leaders. This is what I'm thinking. What do you think? Get the conversation going. People need time to get used to things, especially when it comes to money. Number four, be patient with timing and the process. My first church was a country church. It was a 100-year-old church, and things were changing and moving. The church doubled in size, and we had 500 people, and we had no secretary. So I proposed that we get a part-time secretary, and the response was, we've existed 100 years without a secretary. Why do we need one now? So it was like, now how do I get this going? So what I did is I made a proposal. I said, okay, you are going to offer me a raise this year of some amount. I will give my raise for this secretary if you all match it. That was the proposal. It passed. I remember a guy came up after church and said, man, I'm so surprised that passed. I didn't think it ever passed. For 100 years, we didn't have a secretary. And I looked at him and I said, really? If I am willing to pay the same amount that all of you together for something that benefits you all, shouldn't you just trust me that maybe it's needed? I mean, why in the world would I do that otherwise? But that's sometimes what it takes. It takes a little time, and you have to be patient. You have to keep coming, and you have to go little by little by little. If you're going to create a ministry position that doesn't exist at present, It takes some time. It's in God's time. So you have to be prepared to put in that time. All right. Last one, step 7 to compensation in ministry. This is full-time. Advantages to full-time ministry, more time for ministry. When you're part-time, it's like you're half in one world, half in the other world, and it sometimes feels like you can't do either one well. Number 2, more commitment of church to your leadership. When you're part-time, people, well, you're part-time, they don't necessarily follow you. When you're full-time, they either got to follow you or get someone else. Number 3, more pressure to be a leader, not a hired doer. When you're part-time, a lot of times they hire you for a specific thing, and we want you to take care of the youth. We want you to take care of the music. When you're hired as a full-time leader, you are hired not to do all the work, but you are hired to maximize all the leaders and all the people, to develop leaders, to get as much out of the people. Your job is a manager, not the doer. Well, where does one find a full-time ministry job? Maybe that's, in some ways, for many of you that have taken a lot of classes here at CLI, this is your big question. It's like, okay, I have all these classes. I got my thing. I got my degree. I got all these courses. What am I going to do with it? Where's these magical full-time jobs out there? I'm ready to stop doing this work, and I really want to serve God. All right, number 1. Where does one find a full-time ministry job? Number 1, in the place you volunteered. Worked for a love gift, and already were hired part-time. Some of you going, oh man, I haven't done any of those things. Yeah, that's, you don't just get a full-time job. You have to work into it, especially if it's your own church. So if you haven't volunteered, that's where you start. If you haven't done the love gift, then that's where you go. In other words, it's a process. Your education is a process. So is getting a ministry job. Number 2, check with your denomination. I mean, there might be a church out there that is looking for a pastor. If you have the training here from CLI, get them to recognize that. Get your denomination to recognize that, to honor you, to even ordain you. And then perhaps this church that's in need could just call you. Number 3, check with the churches near you. There are churches in need, pastors leaving all the time, crises in churches. Get out there and look. It's not like full-time ministry jobs are just going to come to you. You have to go to them. You have to be active and looking and talking and planning. Number 4, plant a church. If no church wants you, plant one of your own. Number 5, start a ministry. Start your own ministry. These two topics are the topics of the next 2 sessions. Planting a church, we just talked one session about that, and starting your own ministry.